Welcome to Integrative Medicine and Nutrition for Diabetes, Cognitive Decline, and Alzheimer's. I'm Dr. Leslie Korn, and I am so excited to invite you to work with me over the next many hours to learn specific skills, the science, and the clinical application that will enhance your practice, enhance the lives of your clients and patients, as well as your own well-being and that of your family. Now, let's dive in. This module is the introduction. I want to share with you a little bit about my story and my training and background and how I came to this work in integrative medicine. I was very lucky to travel to the jungle of Mexico in 1973. And while there, I got sick with absolutely everything possible to get sick with. And that turned out to be one of the blessings of my life because it afforded me the opportunity to learn and study with local healers, to study traditional medicine, which is medicine rooted in cultural practices, and where there was no doctor, there were no phones, there was no electricity, I was really on my own to figure out how to stay healthy and how to prevent illness, and then how to return to health. So this was my introduction at a very young age. I had come from Boston, where I'd been very involved in the feminist health movement, involved in our bodies, ourselves in the early days. And I was so interested to share my knowledge of self-care and women's health with women in the village. And we developed a wonderful collaborative exchange in which I shared what I knew and women shared what they knew about the use of nutrition and herbs and hydrotherapy and the use of nature in health. Now, I ended up staying there for over 25 years. The first round, I was there for 10 years. I started a health center, and it was a collaborative effort with me and the women and men of the village, in which it was a public health, natural medicine free center. And during this time, I was observing that we were moving from acute illnesses, the kinds of illnesses that were common in less developed regions and in rural areas, things like acute illnesses, dysentery, things subject to hygiene or lack of potable water. I noticed that the illnesses started transforming. This was during the 80s. Stress started increasing. The use of alcohol was increasing, and what was coming into the village were refined foods, refined sugar products. And over the 10, 15 years of that initial phase of my work there in public health, I noticed that the acute illnesses started diminishing, but the chronic illnesses, including diabetes and cardiovascular disease, started increasing. This really intrigued me and led to not just my clinical training in public health, but my interest in the role of what I ended up calling nutrition trauma, the introduction of foods into environments that were not suited to those individuals. And we see now nutrition trauma all over the world. This is the eating of foods that we're biologically not meant to eat. And I'll discuss this further as we look at diet and digestion and nutritional therapies later on in this training. But this was my initial introduction. I was so intrigued and fascinated and benefited so much from the application of traditional medicine. I returned to the United States. I like to joke to the jungle of Harvard, out of the jungle of Mexico. And I studied not only psychotherapy and behavioral medicine, which is what my PhD is in behavioral medicine or applied psychophysiology, the relationship between the mind and body mediated by the autonomic nervous system. But I also spent 2 years in public health studying the role of traditional plants and foods. I was particularly interested in proteolytic enzymes and the role of papaya. Now, you might ask, what does papaya have to do with our health? But it has a very important component that we use to decrease inflammation in the body. So while at Harvard, I was studying about the traditional use of papaya. Now, I'd been introduced to papaya and proteolytic enzymes while in the jungle. I observed that after the Sunday slaughter, men would lay the beef out on a large table, and one man would climb a papaya tree, take down a few green papaya, slice the skin off, and out would come this oozy white substance, which is known as papain, the proteolytic enzyme. He would then lay the skin oozing with papain over this meat to tenderize it. Now, those of you who use Adolph's meat tenderizer, and I certainly hope you don't actually, know that the prime ingredient of Adolph's meat tenderizer is papain, proteolytic, meaning protein digesting. Now, we use proteolytic enzymes for many things, but relevant to our exploration during this course is how we reduce inflammation in the body. Inflammation is a key area I want you to keep in mind, because so much of our intervention will be focused on decreasing inflammatory process in the body, in the arteries, in the brain. And how are we going to do this? So we're not going to climb papaya trees up in Minnesota or Wisconsin or even in Boston, but we can access lyophilized or dehydrated proteolytic enzymes, and we can take them. Now, you don't need to have diabetes or Alzheimer's to benefit. Even just taking them on an empty stomach once or twice a day is going to keep down inflammatory process, reduce pain. Even if you're in great shape and you're an athlete and you suffer from muscle soreness, it'll reduce pain. So that's just your first little hint about how we use nutrition to reduce inflammation and prevent or manage the symptoms of diabetes and dementia. And that was a little bit about how I became involved in the role of nutrition and natural medicine and health and well-being. After I spent several years in training at Harvard, I was so lucky to return to the jungle of Mexico on the West Coast, and I was funded to carry out research in community trauma. And this was a whole area of exploration in understanding how stress makes us vulnerable to diabetes. Believe it or not, diabetes is not just a disease of sedentism, of lack of exercise, of poor quality nutrition, of too much sugar, though of course it is all those things. But it also begins with stress. And when I explore with you in Module 3, the biology of diabetes, I will walk you through the role of stress and the development of diabetes and dementia, Alzheimer's type. And we'll explore throughout this course ways of reducing stress biologically and emotionally. I was also very lucky to train as a body worker. It's how I began a lot of my clinical work. I'm trained in polarity therapy, cranial sacral therapy, lymphatic massage, and later on I'm going to share with you a protocol for the delivery of a massage therapy that reduces blood glucose, that enhances relaxation, that moves excess lymph or congestion, lymphedema, throughout the body. That'll be in a later module. I'm going to share with you in a little bit some of the books that I've written that will amplify some of the content in this course. And after then returning to the United States to live and work in Boston, and then I had the opportunity to live and work in the Pacific Northwest. The Center for Traditional Medicine, which I founded in rural Mexico, became part of the Center for World Indigenous Studies in 1994, and it became the research and clinical medicine arm of the center, which is an indigenous-run center devoted to indigenous peoples worldwide. I was very lucky then to bring some of these concepts that I'd learned in rural indigenous Mexico, expanded upon during my clinical work in Boston in public health, and then apply them during cultural revitalization activities with Pacific Northwest tribes. And these were collaborative seminars that I developed with individuals who have a tradition of natural foods and herbs and practices that often get lost in the effects of what we call development. And so this was a whole opportunity I had both to learn from traditional medicine of the Pacific Northwest up into British Columbia, but also into the eastern United States and Canada among Anishinaabeg people. And this is a whole area of interest that I will share with you in terms of my nonprofit work. I developed a pro bono program called Nutrients for Natives that provides free health care for Native individuals who are experiencing diabetes and without the funds to pay for integrative treatment. And if this is an interest of yours, I welcome your contact with me. I want to share with you my page of books. I've been very fortunate to have time and energy to write books. Let me just share with you my newest book called Natural Woman. And I write a lot about what I learned while living in Mexico, but this is a book devoted to women's health from prenatal period on through passage at death. My book, Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health, is a clinical textbook designed for clinicians who want to learn more about nutrition and its effect on mental health, depression, stress, and the other DSM categories. Rhythms of Recovery is devoted to the treatment of trauma from an integrative perspective. Preventing and Treating Diabetes Naturally, the Native Way, was written with Dr. Rudolf Reiser and is about diabetes prevention that is suited particularly for people in the Pacific Northwest. And I'll share with you a lot of that content in this course. Multicultural Counseling Workbook is a lot of exercises about how we connect with people across cultures and of relevance to our course here and our module on culture. One of the best ways to bridge cultural diversity and cultural communication, I think, is through talking about food and food traditions, cultural health practices, and to really engage. I find it interesting, but more importantly, I think it builds a lot of rapport, and it's fun. The Good Mood Kitchen is for my clients and for your clients to understand healthy foods, and there's lots of great recipes and tips for how to stay in a good mood and how to take care of ourselves. Eat Right, Feel Right is all about recipes. And Medicinas de la Selva is a bilingual book. Now, these last two books, Medicina de la Selva and Preventing and Treating Diabetes Naturally, are both in English and Spanish. They were designed, and they're very low cost, and some are even for free download. These are for English and Spanish-speaking clients, for clinicians, and I've placed them online at no charge as really a service to share information about preventing and treating diabetes using integrative medicine. So these are a few resources available to you. I've given you both of my websites here, and particularly on CWIS.org, you will find loads of free resources to download to share not only for you and your colleagues, but use with your clients as well. So let's begin. What is the focus of this training, and particularly of this module? I want to look with you an overview of the disease processes that begin. We'll focus on diabetes type 2 in particular, along with cognitive decline and Alzheimer's, but I'll also review diabetes type 1 and gestational diabetes, in large part because we know there are a lot of actions that we can take clinically that can prevent and even reverse some of the symptoms and the signs, particularly new information about diabetes type 1 and environmental triggers. I'm going to review principles that can be applied across many lifestyle issues that lead to chronic illness. We're going to review a lot of conventional approaches, but the particular focus of this training is to shore up our conventional knowledge, but to focus on the emerging state of integrative methods for prevention, management, and treatment. Above all, I want to provide you with actionable methods. I want you to leave this training with lots of steps that you can choose to take. And one of the best things about this approach is that you can choose where you begin. I'll make recommendations, but where you begin will be very much up to you and suited to your own clinical practice. But no matter where you begin with these approaches, you will find success. This course has a number of modules to it, and I want to walk you through the state-of-the-art clinical practice. I will provide you with the research and the evidence. There's a great deal of evidence for what I'm going to share with you. There's some work that is anecdotal that has not been proven, but we know through clinical observation we see results. And I will differentiate that for you depending upon what your needs are and what your own clinical practice is. I'm going to begin with definitions. We're going to explore ethics, scope of practice, biology and the risk factors. We'll look at the psychology of diabetes and Alzheimer's. One of my favorite topics is psychological and psychobiological rhythms and the role of hormones, both deficits and supplementation. Culture and competency, as I mentioned, will play a very important role in our interventionary process. How do we engage cultural practices of a diverse population? And indeed, I'm going to share cross-cultural recipes with you. I will walk you through assessment and evaluation methods, digestion and diet, culinary and spice medicine, herbal medicine, nutritional supplementation, the role of pharmaceuticals and their interactions with nutrition, herbal medicine, diet, and then, of course, exercise and movement, along with bodywork therapies and beyond. I'll provide you with resources, and we'll talk a little bit about developing a niche practice.